G'day, Omar.
Hey, mate. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too, and welcome back to the country. Great to see you jumping right back into it. You've had a little bit of a trip.
Yeah, man. I've been back in the homeland in Borneo, East Malaysia, trekking through pristine rainforests and up rivers and staying in longhouses. Yeah, it's been gnarly. It's kind of a culture shock to get back here.
Oh, it would be. I mean, sounds like I saw some photos of your trip, and you know, you would have met some amazing people, seen some awesome countryside. But how's it feel to come back to Sydney?
Yeah, it's good, man. It's a bit overwhelming. It's kind of like I got straight off the plane, and the next night I had opening night of this show, and so I haven't even had time to think. But yeah. You know, the show's been getting good responses and stuff. So, positive, man. Feeling good.
Excellent. So, as part of the Sydney Festival, you've brought it back to the Griffin Theatre. I think you had a show early last year, was it, when it first started? And of course, the album as well, at the end of the year, which is also the same name, Since Ali Died. What brought you up the concept of this? Was the album first, or did you have an idea for the show first, or did it all just sort of morph into the same thing? Uh-oh. Sounds like we've lost Omar there.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Hey, so... lost you there for a second.
I told you I had a dud phone. I dropped it in a bloody pot plant full of water.
Oh, no.
This makes great radio, doesn't it?
Wait, did the phone survive the Malaysian and Borneo treks, or did it drop it here?
It did. It made it until about New Year's Eve in Bali, and I won't tell you that much about what happened. But,
did you catch my question?
Yeah, I did. Both of these projects came together in a really fast, spontaneous, haphazard way, but the album came together first.
Right.
And the album kind of had some loose narrative threads, you know, about lost friendship, lost love, madness, addiction, politics, and then, of course, my personal sense of grief at losing, you know, my childhood hero, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And I used to just joke to friends that, like, since Muhammad Ali died, the world fell apart. When, you know, Donald Trump got into power, like all these things happened in my personal life. Black Lives Matter, occurred. It was all because the linchpin, Muhammad Ali died, kind of kicked off all these events. But, when the opportunity came around to perform at the Griffin Theatre and do kind of a spoken word show or something more theatrical, I thought, why don't I use this album as the basis for a play and make something really brand new and fresh and sort of weld together all these different stories into one thing and kind of build new poems and stories around it and bring the album to life in a totally different way, like an unexpected way.
Yeah, yeah, and you do it on stage pretty much by yourself. No props or anything. It's you on stage. Of course, Sarah Corey comes on for a couple of songs as well. But you managed to hold the audience. And have you read any reviews yet of your show? I don't know if you read them.
No, I try not to read them, you know, because, like, I think it sort of affects your mind state or the purity of your mind state going into the show and your focus.
Sure.
I have nothing against reviews, like, some artists are very thin-skinned and they can't stand critiques of their work. I'm not like that. It's sort of, I let it just come out in the wash later, because if you buy too much into a review or reviews, whether they're good or bad, I think it just kind of affects your performance.
Fair enough.
You don't want to... Yeah, I try not to,
Well, that's right. I won't read out this paragraph that I read from the SMH yesterday, but they did describe your voice as sonorous, which I think was a very good description of your voice, because you do have that method of standing out in front of a crowd and you just, your voice just attracts people in and they pay attention. So do you feel like that when you're on stage? Do people just sort of focus on you, and do you feel that conscious? Are you conscious of their gaze?
Well, I mean. In a one-man show,
no one's nowhere else to look, I guess.
No, but for sure, you know, but it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of experience to be able to pull something like that off.
Yeah.
You know, you try and present it in a way that's confident and seems like it's almost off the cuff, but, you know, it's an accumulation of so many years of work and experimentation, trial and error and mistakes, you know, stylistic and artistic mistakes, times I've frozen on stage and embarrassed myself, and then mistakes as a human as well. Like, you know, these pieces of art are products of all of those mistakes.
You're definitely, my producer identified you as a multi-hyphenate. You've got multi-hyphenate skills. You can do, you know, an author, you're a rapper, you're a poet. Now you're, you know, a stage performer. Do these, all these sort of skills that you have, do you love to sort of combine them all? Is there any one that you prefer over the other, or you just sort of see where things take you?
Oh, that's a hard one. Yeah, I mean, I try to keep it all pretty loose and break down those barriers between the genres, because I do see them as all just different branches of the same river of kind of storytelling or expressing yourself. But I would say that poetry or music, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much number one. Novel writing is just the most painful, hectic, horrible experience to me. you know, it sort of tests me in some way, I guess. Like, tests my discipline, tests my endurance.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think poetry did come first before everything. And so it's the one where I find the greatest joy, or comes the most naturally. Like, I'd be doing it anyway, like, even if it wasn't my chosen profession, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's pitfalls of that too, Mick. Like, you know, when you turn your passion into a profession, that's dangerous too. Like, you can lose the love for it, you know. Yeah. And I think I've tread that line a little bit over the last couple of years. It's like, it feels as, you know, it sort of erodes you as much as it fulfills you. So it's a real delicate balance.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists would appreciate and relate to that, because, you know, you need to make it a profession to keep doing it, but there's nothing else you'd rather do. But you've got to, like, balance that line between enjoying it and the passion, but making it too much work.
Mean, yeah, with something like this show, it's plumbing the depths of my personal experience. Like, you know, I'm letting you into my world, like into my secrets and into my soul, and like the dark things that I think about and have experienced and people around me. Yeah. And that's not easy, you know. It feels like a fraught endeavor to do that, a dangerous thing. Yeah. But at the same time, these types of, you know, hitting these emotional depths is what resonates with people as well, because everyone goes through these kind of struggles. So it feels sort of necessary, I guess, but you've got to keep an eye on it as well.
Yeah, for sure. We're speaking to Omar Musa, whose show Since Ali Died just started this week as part of the Sydney Festival at Griffin Theatre. It'll be moving on to the Riverside Theatre as well, which is great to go out west and play it out there at Parramatta. I noticed one of the parts of your show is about how you got a hate mail from Mark Latham, who unfortunately keeps on staying in the news, now One Nation representative.
Unbelievable.
Did you ever reply to him?
Yeah, for a little bit. I was just like taking the mickey out of him online, because sometimes I think, you know, it takes a sting out of these characters when you just laugh at them, because, you know, a lot of what they're saying is just ridiculous. Mm. Of course, there comes a time when you have to seriously engage. Like, if their words are sort of, you know, sort of seeping out there into the general public and people are starting to believe them. But, you know, I sometimes think that humor is the best way to just subvert these people and take the mickey out of them. But then after a while, I thought, you know what, there's no point. Like, there's no point engaging with someone as vitriolic as this. Yeah. He's got an axe to grind. He's desperate. You know, he obviously trawls through the internet looking for people that he can troll. And, you know, it's crazy, because I say in the show, like, I voted for him in 2004.
Yeah, well, a lot of Labor voters would have, and, you know, were thinking, well, yeah, anyone's better than Howard, right?
And, well, yeah, exactly. It didn't seem so bad at the time.
Now it's probably you'd reconsider that. But in this era, you've come back into Australia and you've seen last weekend all these sort of hate protests and counter protests down in St Kilda. It's, things aren't really getting much better in that side of things in Australia, it feels like. And we're going to be even more divisive with the election coming up again.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I do feel it's one of the most polarized eras in Australian history. It's combustible, you know. It's a very shifting cultural battleground at the moment. Like, I think there need to be voices that add kind of nuance and complexity to the discourse, and people of marginalized backgrounds telling their stories, you know, because there are so many loud voices out there, and they're voices who seem hell-bent on dehumanizing people and putting up walls. You know, even Trump is trying to put up a literal wall, but, you know, yeah. But then in Australia, we have a similar thing, making sure that everyone's just in their little silo. You know, it's divide and conquer. And I feel like, you know, you've got to fight these type of prejudices and attitudes. And I choose to do it with my art. I also try to make my art, a bridge too, so that people can hopefully understand each other a bit better, or it may embolden other people braver than me or better than me to tell their stories as well.
Well, it's a very great thing that you're doing, and building those bridges and speaking out and giving people maybe encouragement to put their own voice out there. It's a great thing. So well done on that, and congratulations on the show. I hope it has a really good run. It's on till the 17th, I think it is. No, 19th at Griffin
Theatre.
Yeah,
it's on till the 19th.
And then it heads out to Parramatta after that. So you can look it up on griffintheatre.com.au or just do a search for Since Ali Died, Omar Musa, and it'll come up. Good luck with the show, man. Really good to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me on.